Morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 4, entitled Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World, text number 14 through 15. My dear King Parikshit, I have now described the wonderful power of Krishna as displayed when the Lord delivered the king of the elephants. O best of the Kuru dynasty, those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees. They are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams. So this same theme is, of course, repeated again and again throughout all of the scriptures by constant hearing of the pastimes of the Lord. Our heart is cleansed of all of the dirty things, such as lust, anger, greed, envy, delusion. When the heart is clean, then we can approach Krishna, then we can begin to develop love of God, by which we will be freed from the cycle of birth and death and be able to go back to home, back to Godhead, where life is eternal, where there are no more any problems, where everyone is completely satisfied and blissful, and there are no newspapers. So this satatam kirtayantomam, constant chanting and glorification of the Lord, is very, very important. And for that purpose, the Lord comes down just to manifest His divine lila, so that we have something to remember, something to talk about. Otherwise, there's a natural inclination to talk about somebody or something supposedly great in this world. We're always talking about some politician or some music star or some sports player. There's a natural inclination to glorify someone. But if we have no information about the supreme activities, the divine activities, Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattatara tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so arjuna. If we understand Krishna's birth and his activities as they are, tatata. Of course, so many people read history and they may have read about Krishna something. But unless one understands Krishna through the eyes of a devotee of Krishna, it is not possible to enter into the mystery of his activities. One is sure to interpret the lila of Krishna. One is sure to impose his own understanding. That will not help, because in the material world we are subject to four defects. And with these defects it is not possible to understand the absolute truth. Therefore, we require guidance from Lord Krishna, from his representatives, and from the Shastra. So if one hears Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, the effect will be Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantaksto Hyabhadran. All those things that are abhadra or inauspicious, they will be cleansed. And Suritsatam, one will proceed on the path of devotional service very nicely. So this same theme is reiterated, expressed again and again by, the point is made by different devotees in different leelas, but I think more or less there should be no doubt in anyone's mind what the message is. We are dull, no doubt. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. In Kali Yuga we have dull brain. Everyone agree? Short memory. Ever experienced that? Lack of determination, lack of enthusiasm to go deeper and deeper, to surrender more and more. This is our situation in Kali Yuga. It is an age of quarrel, an age of hypocrisy. So, given all these anomalies, given all these negative aspects, we certainly need a lot of mercy. So we try to hear, but even in our hearing, even in our religious life, we are misled. We are easily cheated. There are so many different theories and ideas promoted in the name of religion, but more or less they're all koitava dharma, cheating processes. And therefore, we also have to be very, very careful in our approach. In fact, it is said, shravanam naiva kartavya. One should not hear harikatha discussions about Krishna, about God, about Gajendra, about all the different personalities in the Bhagavatam. We shouldn't listen to them. If they're spoken by a Vaishnava, a non-devotee. And how is that possible? How is it possible that a non-Vaishnava is speaking about Krishna Katha? Well, it is quite possible because people are very much apt to use anything to exploit others in this age. This is an age of hypocrisy. So people will not only engage in business activities, in entertainment, in various other forms of economic development and exploiting others, but they will even take up religion and use that as a platform to maintain themselves, to satisfy their desires for sense gratification. So it is unfortunate that you can't just approach anyone who looks like a sadhu and get spiritual instruction. It is very lamentable. But that is Kali Yuga. We can't do anything about that. It was our mistake to come here in the first place. We should have gotten off the train much earlier. We took the wrong exit, the wrong stop. We should have got off in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. But we have persisted all the way to Kali Yuga. So now we have got a little interest in spiritual life, and here is the formula to hear the pastimes of the Lord in the association of devotees. And of course, here it says one is fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Higher planetary systems for us means spiritual planetary systems, because even in the Brahmalok, Patalok, or wherever you go in the material world, no matter what standard of material gratification you get, there's still birth and death. Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punarvartu Arjuna. Mahamupeti. Krishna says, the only thing is you come to me. Mahamupeti tu kanteya punar janmana vidite. No more birth in the material world if you just come to me. So we should not even think of these things. We should try to engage in devotional service. We've come to this platform, and albeit our number is small, manushyanam sahasreshu, out of many millions, hardly one is interested in siddha or perfection. It is to be expected that very few people will actually take up pure devotional service, because although it is the easiest, it is not easy. Pure devotional service, according to Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Pancharatra, it's very detailed, it's very scientific, it requires successively surrendering more and more of your false ego. It requires samarpana, giving everything to Krishna 100%. We may not be able to do that immediately. It's a gradual process. So we have to take up Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations which will help us. We have to accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable for the development of devotional service. We have to be vyavasayatmika buddhi, ekeha kuru nandana. Ekeha means pointed, one-minded in our attempt. The central theme of our life should be our spiritual life. We have many other responsibilities. Undoubtedly, we have our family, we have our business, we have our ambitions, our career. We have so many things that we would like to succeed in, that we want to put into our planning, but the central theme must always be our Krishna consciousness. Everything else can be sacrificed for our Krishna consciousness. Tatra lolyam api ekalam mulyam. That is the price that you have to pay to achieve pure devotional service, where you do not go to the higher planetary systems, but you go back to home, back to Godhead, where you get the topmost benefit, prema pumartho mahan. You have to be prepared to pay that higher price. It's interesting here, Prabhupada adds this, at least in the verse, it talks about bad dreams. So, bad dreams. Well, we spend a good deal of our lives sleeping, and while sleeping we all dream, and dreams are an indication of our waking condition. Whatever you're doing in your waking condition, generally you dream about at night. So let's see what Srila Prabhupada has to say about that. Yatanu kirtyanti tach chayas kama dvijataya suchaya prataruttaya dushvapnad yupashantaye. Therefore, after getting up from bed in the morning, those who desire their own welfare, especially the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and in particular the brahmana vaishnavas, should chant this narration as it is without deviation to counteract the troubles of bad dreams. Any of you ever have bad dreams? Yeah. I had one last night. It seemed like I was falsely accused in a murder case. And it was so weird. Every verse in the Vedic literature, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, is a Vedic mantra. Man means mind and tra means to free. So mantra means sound vibration which will free you from attachment to this material world. Free your mind from absorption in the lower modes of material nature. Attachment is always there, but our mind should be absorbed in Krishna, in the activities and pastimes and service of Krishna. Here the words Yathanu Kirtayanti are used to recommend that this literature be presented as it is. Unscrupulous persons, however, deviate from the actual narration and interpret the text in their own way with grammatical jugglery. Such deviations are to be avoided. So this is a tendency everywhere to want to add our own spices. Of course, we travel all over the world, or have done, and we observe in different temples the cooking of the devotees. And we see that although there are various volumes of wonderful cookbooks, but somehow or other cooks are reticent to just follow the recipe. The recipe is perfect. You just have to do as the recipe says and voila, you have a wonderful preparation. But no, they all want to experiment. And invariably it comes out tasting weird. Or different, anyway. Imaginative. And it tastes different every time also. So, we don't have to do this. For success in spiritual life, we simply have to follow the guidelines given to us by the Shastra and by our previous Acharyas and follow it to the letter. Then we will get the result. That is the way to achieve perfection in chanting of mantra also. This is a Vedic injunction supported by Sukadeva Goswami, one of the Mahajans or authorities. He says, Yathanu Kirtayanti. One should recite the mantra as it is without deviation, for then one will be eligible to rise to the platform of all good fortune. Sukadeva Goswami especially recommends that those who are Brahmanas, Shuchayaha, recite all these mantras after rising from bed in the morning. So we have our morning program. It is very, very, very important. If you want to achieve success in devotional service, if you want to understand, if you want to penetrate the veil, the curtain of Maya, then you have to be prepared to pay the price. If you're not, if you want the highest benefit, but you're lazy, you're not going to get devotional service, and you're not going to get success in material life either. You're just going to remain nothing all your life. You have, each and every one of you, has within you the potential to become a wonderful devotee of Krishna and to go back to home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. There's no doubt about it. You don't have to wait till next yuga. You can achieve perfection right now, but you have to be prepared to make a little effort. Utsahan, nischaya daya, tatat karma pravartana. You simply have to be a little enthusiastic, perseverant, and patient, and you will achieve success. So many people in the past have achieved success by following this formula. And you also will achieve success by following this formula. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, yeah. You could get into that. I love that song. Where's my head? No. Yeah, you have to rise up. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. That's the symptom of Kali Yuga, that people spend all of their time at night, living at night in darkness, and they sleep in the daytime, sleeping late in the light. They sleep in light and they act in darkness. But the devotees of the Lord, they rise early in the morning, because Brahma Muhurt is the best time for executing the activities of devotional service. Both the modes are very nice, so that everything will be very easy for you, and as the quality of your devotional activities is nice, Krishna will reciprocate with you. He is interested in quality, not quantity. Quantity follows quality in everything. Quantity follows quality in everything, and especially in devotional service. If you can just chant the holy name once, purely, you can eradicate all your sinful activities more than it is possible to commit. That is how powerful chanting of the holy names is. And it is most likely that your chanting will be the best in the early morning. So somehow we have to adjust our day. Early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy, Krishna conscious. So this is not something new, but it is something that in every religion, spiritual people, they get up early. We can't speculate. We need to have faith in the process. Our tendency is to change everything. Prabhupada used to chastise us, especially you Westerners, he used to say, you Westerners. Your tendency is to change everything. We get a building and we break down this wall and add this and put in this ceiling and do this. And then after 6 months, we think it's not good enough, and then we break another wall and put the same wall that we broke back. And it reminds me of the story of the lady, the story of the lady who wanted chicken for dinner. And she told her husband, "You go to the marketplace and get one chicken." So he was a very obedient husband, albeit henpecked, but you don't know that word, henpecked. Hens, they peck. It's called pecking. And a henpecked husband is one who's being pecked by his wife. Do this, do this, do that. An expression. So he went to the marketplace to get the chicken. And he got confused, because there were so many people selling chicken and he didn't know who to buy from. One guy was saying, "Buy my chickens. I have the fattest chickens." So then he reasoned, that's the quality of good chicken, that they're fat. The fat is the good quality of a good chicken. So then, instead of buying a chicken, he went to the fat market. But then again he got confused, because everybody was saying that, "Buy from me, my fat is as smooth as oil." And he thought, smooth oiliness, that is the quality of good fat. So then he went to the oil market, because oil was cheaper or something. And he got to the oil market, and everybody was selling oil, and they were saying that, "My oil is as clear as water." So then he took his wife a bucket of water. And she picked it up and poured it on his head. So actually, it's a funny story, but it's true. We have this tendency. Black means, Krishna means black. Black means dark. Dark means unknown. So we don't have to surrender to Krishna, but to the deep, dark, unknown within Krishna. People do like that. One famous big politician, Dr. Radhakrishna, he was the president of India, and a big scholar, and he wrote one commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and he writes the same thing. So we should be very careful to accept as it is. Because of sinful activities, at night we have bad dreams, which are very troublesome. Indeed, Maharaj Yudhisthira was obliged to see hell because of a slight deviation from devotional service to the Lord. This probably refers to this incident where Maharaj Yudhisthira was fighting in the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Aswatthama was one of the strongest soldiers on the side of the Kauravas. He was the son of Dronacharya. So he was carefully protected by Drona, and he was also an excellent fighter. But Krishna knew that unless they defeated Aswatthama, it would be very difficult for them to make progress in the battle. And actually Dronacharya was the strong personality. So Drona had no weaknesses except his attachment to Aswatthama. So Krishna thought that if we convince Dronacharya that his son has been killed, then he will become morose. And then we can kill Drona, or at least he'll be neutralized from the fight. So Krishna told Yudhisthira that you just scream out, Aswatthama is dead. And then Drona will get discouraged that his son has died. So Yudhisthira, he hesitated to do it. He had already accepted Krishna as his guide and master, but he had a lapse in faith. He hesitated. He had already fixed up a contract that Krishna was his guru, but he was unprepared to follow the instruction of his guru. If you are not prepared, then you shouldn't make such a contract at the time of initiation. You agree to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. So, because of that, because Yudhisthira hesitated, he became immoral. And certain things happened to him. One was that because of his purity, he was like the demigods. He did not walk on the earth. He would walk about 1 foot above the earth. He was, you know, his aura, as everybody talks about, was so powerful that he didn't touch the earth. But as soon as he hesitated to fulfill the order of Lord Krishna, he fell down to earth. He became completely mortal. And another thing was that at the end of his life, he had to, before he went back to Godhead, he had to go to hell. Of course, ultimately, he was a devotee of Krishna. He was protected. But the point is that there is a mood in devotional service, and it's based on faith. Ashradhanasya purusya dharmasyasya parantapa prapyamam nivartate mrityu sansara vartmati. Those who do not have faith in Krishna, they cannot achieve the kingdom of God. Our progress is based on our faith, because we are in darkness. And we have to rely upon the guidance of somebody else. And that's based on our faith. So there are different kinds of faith. There's andhasraddha, or blind faith. And there's sakaranshraddha, or rational faith, intelligent faith. So blind faith is not encouraged, although it will do in a pinch, but better that you use your intelligence and understand what you are doing. You require faith to achieve success, so cultivate faith. Protect your faith. Enhance your faith with knowledge. Take the trouble to understand. Then your faith will be strong. Then doubts will be kicked out. But faith is definitely an element to advancement in devotional service. Therefore, duswapna, bad dreams occur because of sinful activities. A devotee sometimes accepts a sinful person as his disciple. And to counteract the sinful reactions he accepts from his disciple, he has to see a bad dream. Nonetheless, the spiritual master is so kind that in spite of having bad dreams due to the sinful disciple, he accepts this troublesome business for the deliverance of the victims of Kali Yuga. After initiation, therefore, a disciple should be extremely careful not to commit any sinful act that might cause difficulties for himself and the spiritual master. Before the deity, before the fire, before the spiritual master, and before all the Vaishnavas, the honest disciple promises to refrain from all sinful activity. Therefore, he must not again commit sinful activities and thus create a troublesome situation. So, Srila Jiva Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has explained that there are four things that are inconceivable. Vishnu Tattva, Shiva Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Guru Tattva. So, these things are all part of the science of devotional service. They are, certainly the whole science of devotional service is foreign to our culture. We come from the Malecha Gotra, and so by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada we have been picked up. And especially Guru Tattva is something that we are coming to know more and more about. There is plenty of instruction there in Srila Prabhupada's books, and it is simply a question of increasing our study of Srila Prabhupada's books and also carefully analyzing our experiences and discussing and improving. Bhaktivinoda Thakur again has said that progress is a series of adjustments in the right direction. So certainly we need to make adjustments as we go along. But it is stated by Srila Prabhupada and inferred in many of the verses in Shastra that the spiritual master accepts the sinful reactions of the disciple right from the very beginning, from first initiation. So, to spread Krishna consciousness, we very much need to expand the number of disciples. We cannot remain a closed, cliquish unit, but we have to open the teachings up to everyone. Anyone who is sincere should be given a chance to engage in pure devotional service. And of course, initiation is the formal beginning. Initiation is very much essential. So, who will take that risk? Only someone who is compassionate. Only someone who is prepared to accept the possibility that his own spiritual life may be affected by the sinful reactions which are committed involuntarily and voluntarily, or knowingly and unknowingly, by so many disciples. So it is something that one should take into consideration. When you take up when you take initiation, you are making a promise in front of so many people. You are making a promise in front of your spiritual master. You're making a promise in front of all the Vaishnavas. The deity of the Lord is there. The sacred fire and even all the demigods are there, where the holy name is being chanted, where pure sacrifice is being performed. All of the demigods are observing in one way or another. So it is a very, very serious business, and we should have the integrity that we will try our very, very best to fulfill all the commitments that we make. When we say in front of the authorities that we will not engage in taking intoxication, we should have already thought about it in our mind that this intoxication is bad for me. It is not helping me any. It is not giving me the ultimate satisfaction I want. I will give it up. When we say we will give it up, we should have already fully decided and stick to that. When we say that I will not eat meat, fish, eggs, or any food not offered to Krishna, then we should have already kicked out the thought of eating meat again, slaughtering innocent animals. When we say that we won't engage in illicit sex, we should study, what does that mean? Can I follow that? Is that too difficult for me? Perhaps I should chant a little more before I take initiation. Because if you make a contract very lightly and break it, you cause distress to everyone. So if we cannot follow, then we should think very carefully and consult. We should consult that I am like this. I want to take initiation, but I'm weak. What should I do? And all the different principles, rising early, not just four regulative principles. There's so many niyam, so many rules. So God helps those who help themselves. I know that it seems like a big sacrifice. People always come. Wherever I go, people always come, and I'm sure the other exalted Maharajas here can also verify. People always come and say, it's so hard. It's so hard to do this. How can I surrender? And I'm telling you, it's so hard not to. It's so hard not to follow. Because you're subjecting yourself to so many miseries by not taking up the path of devotional service. And And it's only difficult in the beginning. If you just persevere and have a little patience, if you just have a little strength of character, believe me, there's no one going to help any of us except ourselves. You are responsible for your own spiritual lives. Nobody else can push you or force you. Krishna does not force you. He didn't force you to stay in the spiritual world. You wanted to come here? Nikatastha maya tare japati adare. Immediately you were slapped down into the material world. Krishna didn't force. It's your choice. You can do it, but you have to make that commitment. Yattadagre vishamiva. In the beginning, there's a little trouble. Anything worthwhile, there's a little austerity involved. And don't say you can't do it. You can. You may choose not to do it. That is your decision. If you choose not to do it, then you choose to accept old age, disease, and death, and rebirth. You choose to accept adidaivika, adibhautika, adhyatmik miseries. So don't cry when they happen. When you're embracing them, that's why we say that you're voluntarily embracing misery. So it's harder not to follow. These restrictions are not so difficult. Read the Puranas if you like. Read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Read about the rishis and sages in other ages. What they had to follow. We have nothing to do. We're living a jolly life, eating pizza and Bhima burgers. I never read about Vishwamitra having pizza and Bhima burgers. Shobari Rishi. They practiced rigid austerities. And even they had problems. But we're actually very fortunate. This process which we have been given is more powerful than what they were following. It is immediately efficacious and is susukam kartum avyayam. It is joyfully performed. So have a little strength of character, have a little determination, and follow the process. And you will find parinama mritopamam. Very quickly it will become nectarian. If you follow the rules, if you're having difficulty, if you're having some problem, you just look to the basics. Go back to the basics. Am I chanting my rounds nicely? Am I following the four regulative principles? If you choose not to, if you practice devotional service and you can't follow, then you should still keep trying, but you should know that you will bring distress upon yourself and distress upon others, especially your spiritual guide who has taken the trouble to help you. And he has taken the trouble to help you. If we were preaching in Hollywood or something, and all our disciples were mega millionaires, and, you know, and we were getting name and fame and everything, then one could say, oh, you're just accepting disciples because you're getting so much material benefit. But I don't think that's the case here. I know all of you are very wealthy in heart, but I didn't see any Mercedes parked outside. So whoever is here trying to bring you the message of Srila Prabhupada, they're doing it because they love you and they want to see you benefit from Prabhupada's mercy. So you should also reciprocate in kind. You should also be honest and pure and do your very best. If I, it's very funny, it's very, very funny. If I had read this verse this morning, I don't know. I mean, they just asked me last night. I wasn't even prepared. And then sure enough, last night, I had a bad dream. And then I saw this verse, and I thought, oh my God, Krishna's playing games. Krishna has a tremendous sense of humor. Really does. You really have to look on the lighter side of life. No cause for distress. I have not figured out any cause for distress. I've looked really hard, and I've had some interesting experiences with distress. But when I wake up the day after, the next day you're in distress, but the day after, you can look at it again in a better light. And it's all Krishna's arrangement to help us come back to Him. Basically, we're all devotees. Anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna is a devotee. So you're all nice devotees of Krishna, struggling in various degrees to come to the point of perfection. So we're all part of the Sura family. We're all part of the devotee family. There's basically two families in the world. The McCoys and the... the Suras and the Asuras. Those who are envious of God and those who are not. So we're part of the Sura family, basically. And we have our problems and differences, etc. But the only way that I can see that we can live together peacefully while we execute our devotional service, there are five things that are very important listed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And one of them is to associate with devotees of the Lord. It's the most important thing. You cannot, it's not possible to be Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees. And within the association of devotees, as far as I can see, the best association available, the most varied association, the best association that will offer you facility to pursue your spiritual life at the present moment is Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Any rational person, after studying everything, will understand that whatever problems we have to solve them within our community and try to make what we have, what Prabhupada gave us, better and better and better. And to do that, we have to be free from false pretense. We have to be our false ego, we have to speak truthfully, we have to act with integrity, we have to act with humility when we're wrong, we have to admit that we're wrong, we have to follow the Shastra very carefully, we have to study the Shastra and its meaning together very carefully, we have to assume different roles and different positions. It is part of a great drama. All the world is a stage. We are merely players. So we're accepting different roles. Ultimately, Jivya Swarupai Nitya Krishna Das. We're Tathastha Shakti, we're Krishna Das. But in this drama, we have different roles to play. Some are men, some are women, some are senior, some are junior. So many things. So we should learn properly how to live together and not cause any bad dreams to each other. When you make this promise to take initiation, please take it seriously. Please note, really note this with care. There are some people floating around pretending that they're giving you first initiation without any consideration of your condition. You can get it in 10 seconds. In fact, I heard of one lady who got initiation and she didn't even know the name of her guru. This is novel in the history of Vaishnava tradition, something extra wonderful. I would avoid it like the plague. It won't help you at all, and those people are doing such mischief are in for a big surprise, because they're going to be overloaded with tons of karma. They're thinking that we're not giving diksha. In the Gaudiya Math, diksha means second initiation, and that you get after many years. But they're going around pretending that they're cheating. Because the people are thinking, as they've been trained up in ISKCON, that first initiation is the initiation, naam diksha. That's the connection to guru. So, Srila Prabhupada is unique in many ways from all of the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta. He is unique, and his philosophical understanding is superior and different. And therefore, our conclusion is that good neighbors, good fences make good neighbors. If you all live in the same street, each house side by side, and you don't have a fence between your house and theirs, then practically they're living in your living room and you're living in their living room, and you'll probably end up fighting all the time. Their kids will run over your garden and your kids will jump in their garden and pass urine on their doorstep. And, you know, there's bound to be some fighting. So you put up a fence. And on Christmas and Easter, you get together and, you know, you have a good time. But you don't commit offenses to each other. So good fences make good neighbors. ISKCON is ISKCON is ISKCON, and anything else is whatever they want to be. Let them define themselves. But Srila Prabhupada is unique, and this first initiation is for your benefit. Prasadam adhigacchati, the rules and regulations are to help you. They're meant for your benefit, so please follow the process and chant Hare Krishna. I have no worries. Be happy. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Satchinandan Maharaja.
I wanted to ask you, as a celibate Vaishnav sannyas, what are your thoughts how a person can, you know, overcome this most powerful driving force which drags him to enjoy the body and the senses, especially for the opposite gender. Mm. It seems that in our ISKCON, for two reasons, the faith in celibacy, brahmacharis, sannyasis, and in following the four regulative principles in grihastha ashram is severely eroded by our history of failure in both of these, in the three of the ashrams, brahmacharis, sannyasis, and grihasthas. It is very difficult to control this force. Maya seems to put all her energy in it. How can one control this force and happily, joyfully say a no to irresponsible sense gratification?
Well, one thing is for sure. I don't think that we should dare to change the standards that Srila Prabhupada gave us. So,
Now we have to learn how to deal with following the standard or falling short of the standard. The tendency will always be to fall short of the standard. How much is enough? How much sex is enough? The standard is once a month for procreation. Or actually the standard is for procreation, always for procreation. And if you're thinking only of procreation, then the best time is at the period after, 4 or 5 days after the menstrual period. Then you'll be sure to conceive, if it is possible. If you have a standard here, then a good percentage of the followers will be here. There's the idealistic standard, and then there's reality. Okay, we're not up here. Let's lower this. Okay, we brought it down. But again, 70%, 80% of the people will be here. Okay, we can't get up there. Let's lower it. Okay, 80% will be here. You can't. The standard Prabhupada gave us is less than the standard of the six Goswamis. So we should not think about lowering the standard. That should be the first thing. Right away, we all agree. We're going to follow Prabhupada to the best of our ability without adding or subtracting or cheating. Now, one possibility is, if we can institute, here we go again, Vainashram Dharma. In the system of Vainashram Dharma, one is allowed to have more than one wife. Maybe it's not allowed in Kali Yuga at the present time in our civilization, but we don't know, that civilization may have some difficulties in the coming years. There may be a need for an alternative approach to civilization, and we should certainly be prepared to offer people Krishna consciousness. But anyway, that's a possibility to think about. It's not something that we can... it requires discussion. But it was a safety net in Vedic times that a lusty person could have many wives, and of course he would have to have the ability to support many wives, and he could impregnate one wife and then go to another wife. He was not protected. Let's call satiation of lusty desires within household life protection in one's spiritual life. Let's not demonize sex, but let's say that we have purusharthas. We have come to the material world to fulfill various desires, and to a certain degree, however much we can restrain or not restrain, we have to fulfill those desires within limits. So, how to deal with fall down? I think that none of us were born pure devotees. I'm speculating, but I think it's a pretty good guess. But somehow or other, we gradually evolved to the point
that we thought about taking up devotional service. Then we struggled with the regulative principles. Then gradually we achieved success. And gradually we're making advancement. How does someone feel when they can't follow? They should feel humble. I'm wondering, Lord Chaitanya says, Trinada Pisunichena Torora Pisahishnana. One should feel oneself very humble to be successful in spiritual life. So here's one reason why we should always feel ourselves very humble. Because probably we're not able to perfectly follow the high ideals. If we are very good, it doesn't mean we have to be proud. But if we can't follow, then we should go on trying to follow, but simply be humble. An example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was 4 or 5 years old, he ate one mango that was meant to be offered to the deity. A huge sin, right? So he thought, rather he was chastised by his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, lightly. He didn't beat him up or anything. But he just said that, you have eaten mango that is meant for the deity, you shouldn't do that. So the boy took it so seriously. He was a 5-year-old boy. You know, try telling your 5-year-old kid, you know, something like this, seeing how they react. Probably just scream and yell and spit at you. But Bhaktisiddhanta took it so seriously that he never ate mango again in his life. Although he had thousands of disciples, many of them very wealthy people. He was a very aristocratic man, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had many, many big scholars following him, and he had many wealthy followers at the height of his preaching. But whenever they would offer him mango, and they wanted him to eat mango, he would say, "No, I am fallen. I have committed offense. I cannot take." So, if he can feel like that, then we can also feel ourselves a little humble. I'm such a rascal. I'm such a nonsense that I promised my spiritual master that I would follow this principle, but I'm causing harm to myself. I'm causing harm to him. I had some difficulty. I won't let this happen again. And I'll pray to Srimati Radharani to help me. And I'll take steps. I won't live in the same room as my wife. Well, now we won't live in a big master bed together. We'll get a separate room. And I'll sleep on the floor, on a mattress or something. But I'll take steps so that this won't happen again. And maybe after 6 months or a year, you slip again. And again, you think, oh, I'm so fallen, but I'm getting better. Last time it was only 2-3 months today. In that way, you devise some plan that you can fight against ignorance, that you can come to the standard by trying, because ultimately it is your sincere trying and struggling to come to the standard which will please Krishna and Guru very much. They know we are fallen. If they gave us a very light standard, we'd become more fallen. They give us something, a little bit of a challenge, so that we will pick ourselves up and grow. So in that struggling, in that growing, we evoke Krishna's mercy we bring out our own sentiments of love, but we never think of changing the standard. That is the most foolish thing. Somehow we have to become nice persons. We're discussing these things. Seven habits of highly effective Vaishnavas. How to become nice persons. How to become human beings. Someone who's struggling to follow, he should not be discouraged. He cannot, you know, do the Abhishek, or he cannot be the head pujari, but he should be encouraged and welcomed amongst the association of devotees. Because whatever we are today, we don't know what Maya has in store for us. Today we may be down and someone else may be forward. Nobody thought that Babu Abai, Abai Babu, that was his name. Babu means householder, businessman, simply interested in Grihamedi Sukh. Nobody thought that he would come to that standard of leading all the sannyasis, all the preachers. Srila Prabhupada would turn out the best. So we don't know who is a great Vaishnava amongst us and who will someday show us. We should pray for his emergence or for their emergence. We need many leaders. Not just one. And that, for that reason, we should always be very kind to all jivas. So these things, if we make our community a loving, nurturing community, compassionate, and yet not wishy-washy, please remember that there are fivefold material miseries, and I'm sure you've heard them before. Huh? Yesterday you heard? Who spoke yesterday? Yeah, I told him in, Ljubljana. You know, birth, death, disease, old age, and new age, anyway. Huh? Chaitvaita Maharaj gets the credit ultimately. Oh, that's beautiful. It's really a fact. We are not wishy-washy. You read about the battles in Mahabharata, in Ramayana, the great devotees like Arjuna and Hanuman. They were not wishy-washy. They would smash Maya. We had Bhakti Siddhanta. He was known as Narasimha Guru. He was not, I'm okay, you're okay. That was not Bhakti Siddhanta. Srila Prabhupada, you do not know, sometimes with his own leading disciples, he would scream at them so much that you could see blood vessels in his forehead. He would be bright red. He'd be screaming, come on, Krishna, you rascal! Because he loved them, and he knew that they were dear to him, and they could accept it. Therefore, he would chastise us. So, you know, if it's too hot in the kitchen, then get out. I mean, if you're not here to become purified, if you're not here to go back home to Godhead, if you can't tolerate a little instruction, well, please keep trying, but we have to be told when we're right and when we're wrong. Are there any other questions? Yes, Mataji. How can I be sure that I will be able to follow? Well, before diksha, there is pariksha. So there is a period when you have to demonstrate that you can follow. And if you're able to pass that test, then we have to take a risk. We have to try. We cannot wait for the next incarnation of Lord Krishna to come. We have to go ahead. We're both taking risks. You're taking a risk that your spiritual master. There's a nice cartoon. It came out during the last ISKCON reform in Los Angeles, the place, the world center of cynicism. So, by one of my god brothers who was on my traveling Sankirtan party in the early 70s. Partrikananda Prabhu. Anyway, he made this nice cartoon, and it was in three strips, you know, three sections. So, one section is, you see the Los Angeles temple, the form of it, and you're looking from the outside, and you just see the temple. And so then there's a little, you know, one of those little bulb balloons and the caption inside the balloon. And the caption says, so are you ready to follow the four regulative principles? And down below that, yes. So obviously you get the idea there's some initiation ceremony going on. You can't see inside the temple, but you're seeing outside. And this little bubble of indicating the sound is there. And then the next section says, are you ready to chant 16 rounds and engage in devotional service all your life? And then the little bubble, yes. And then the third section is, the spiritual master is handing the beads to the disciple, and the disciple is saying, well, then I agree to accept you as my spiritual master. I have a copy of that if anybody wants it. We're both taking a risk, and we're both testing each other. And, of course, initiation should mean in our institution, just like they say in Africa, it takes a whole village to raise a child. So in ISKCON, it takes a whole institution to raise a disciple. You are being protected by so many Vaishnavas, by the GBC, by your Diksha Guru, by so many other senior Vaishnavas. But we have to go forward. As long as we're sincerely trying our best, we'll go forward. I belong to a conference for people who have a very serious disease, hepatitis. So they don't have any cure for it. So all of there's about 1,200 people in the conference, and I'm watching them sending messages back and forth, and they're full of fear and anxiety, hoping for a cure to come. So there's one fellow who keeps sending his messages, and at the bottom of his email there's a signature or a slogan that's on every one of his emails. And it says, onward through the fog. So I keep thinking, yes, there's a fog in Kali Yuga. We do not know what to do, how to act properly. But we have to go onward through the fog towards the light of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will help us, there's no doubt about it. Are there any other questions? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Speak or forever hold your peace. Her question is that these four regulative principles are there in every religion. Real initiation is in the heart. What is the necessity for formal initiation where one feels pressure and... Is that it? Huh? What was the last part? Where one feels pressure? Yes, the real initiation is in the heart. Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta in 1922 and he said, from the very moment I heard my spiritual master, I accepted him within my heart as my spiritual master. Formally, he was initiated in 1933, 11 years later. So, of course, that is the main thing. But there's no less following by accepting formal initiation or by not accepting formal initiation. You still have to follow and you should still feel the same pressure. You should still feel the same sense of responsibility. You can, for all intents and purposes, you can get married without going through a ceremony. You live with your wife, you bear children in your wife, you raise your children, you're married. But, nevertheless, there is a formal ceremony. And there is advantage to that formal ceremony, without a doubt. First of all, you are revealing your commitment to the world. In India, the marriage ceremony is one where the husband and wife, newly married, they sit on two elaborate chairs, and all they call hundreds of guests, sometimes thousands. In a village, it might even be thousands. And people come up on the stage where the bride and groom are sitting, and they acknowledge that now you are married. So it is a declaration to the community that we have taken these vows of marriage. So one is putting himself in a kind of social system where he will be forced to follow. When you take formal initiation and take vows in front of the fire, in front of the spiritual master, in front of the Vaishnavas, there's more pressure there. Formally, it was only in your heart. Nobody knew about it. And you could cheat more easily. But now, everyone will talk about you if you, you know, break your vow, or at least some people will. So there's utility there in the process of formal initiation. It strengthens your commitment. You feel a surge of enthusiasm. You're inviting the Vaishnavas to give you their blessings. By the blessings of the Vaishnavas, if you just in your heart keep it secret, then maybe you won't get the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, the ample blessings and the generous blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So by taking formal initiation, or as a householder, or as a disciple, or whatever it is, there is a utility to formalizing everything. It's a part of the process. It's not the beginning, middle, and end of the process. But it is an important part. You should accept anything which is favorable to help you make even 1 millimeter of progress. If it helps you go forward, embrace it. Why not accept it? Why reject it out of hand? We need, at least I need every little bit of help I can get. Again, here's another controversial subject. I don't know whether I should broach it. Having said that, I will. People talk about reinitiation. There's confusion here because, by my reasoning, I think the process of initiation has been relatively misunderstood. So, if I want to go on in my spiritual life, and if there's even a little bit of advantage to taking reinitiation, then why not? It's that serious. Why not? You don't have to. You can take siksha informally. You're already connected. But if by establishing a formal relationship with someone who will then feel that it is his specific responsibility to care for my devotional creeper and to help me in every way, then why not? Nothing to lose, everything to gain. Anyway, it's a big discussion, but just in that line of initiation, formal initiation is part of our tradition, and there definitely are advantages to it. Now, you can say that Lord Chaitanya, his formal initiation was he would embrace people. He would wander around chanting and dancing, and he would embrace someone, and back they went to Godhead. We're not so expert at that yet. Maybe Satchinanda Maharaj can do that, but when he embraces me, I feel like it. And I'm going back to Godhead. But otherwise, Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, they are our technologists. They know what technique we have to follow to get the result. They have made whatever adjustments are necessary. Prior to Bhakti Siddhanta, there were very few sannyasis. Bhakti Siddhanta re-established or gave more importance to the sannyasa ashram for the purpose of preaching. There was utility. He had a method to his madness, as they say. It wasn't madness, it was divine. But he had a method. So everything has some utility, and we should accept everything favorable to advancing 1 millimeter and reject everything that will take us back 1 millimeter. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.